From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the characters who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. What do you have if you mix canny casting, cute choreography, cheeky costuming, smashing singer-actors, marvelous musicians, scary sound effects, dynamically deft directing, a super set, and music and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim? Well, you have the perfect reason to run, not walk, to see Into the Woods at the San Francisco Playhouse, which is directed by my guest on today's field trip, Susie Damolano. Susie herself is an award-winning actress, and she's also the producing director of the San Francisco Playhouse, which she and her husband Bill English founded in 2003. It's located in the heart of San Francisco's theater district. The San Francisco Playhouse is known as the city's off-Broadway company, and the San Francisco Chronicle called it the little playhouse that could. Although with a cast of 16 actors and a 7-piece band on stage for this show, as well as a production team of 36 and 26 people on staff, it's clearly hitting its stride, and that's why the San Francisco Playhouse is fast becoming the go-to place for great and fun theater in San Francisco. Please welcome back to the field trip, Susie Damolano. Welcome, Susie.
Thank you. What an introduction. I'm a little overwhelmed.
Well deserved. So, first of all, let me congratulate you on Into the Woods. I saw it last week. It's absolutely marvelous.
Thank you. I love the show. I love how it came out. And I think your introduction and the amount of people that are part of it really define why it is so great. Everyone just came to it. The actors, we've got a 7-piece band, an incredible music director, choreographer, sound. Every single element of it was delivered with such passion that I think it just truly is something that became bigger than the sum of its parts.
Well, this is the first musical you've directed, isn't it?
It sure is.
So you started
something simple, you know, that's all I wanted to start out with.
Well, you're doing great. And now this is the final show of your 11th season.
Yeah.
And your second season in the new location, right?
Yes, we doubled our size and moved down here to 450 Post Street inside of the beautiful Kensington Park Hotel 2 seasons ago. On our 10th anniversary was when we opened up in this space. And I think you can attest to it. It's a beautiful space. It turned us into a hidden gem, which was upstairs behind the nail salon, into fully fledged Union Square Theater.
Absolutely. Well, now, for listeners who aren't familiar with Into the Woods, it's a sort of a musical mashup, a kind of a spoof on a bunch of classic fairy tales, which is like the Brothers Grimm meets Rod Serling or something. Tell us about the show.
That's a great way to put it, the Brothers Grimm meet Rod Serling, because Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine wanted to write a show together, and Lapine had this idea, I think it was originally for a movie where there might be a car crash and different characters from different stories would somehow come together. But the evolution of that turned into the Woods, with fairy tale characters being tied together. And they're tied together by a fairy tale that the two of them made up, which is a baker and his wife who want to have a child but are unable to because there's been a curse put on the family. And so the show is about lifting the curse in the first act, and in the second act it's about what happens after Happily Ever After.
Well, that's right. At the end of the first act, it seems to have all wrapped up nicely, but then the second act starts and you think, uh-oh, now what?
That's when the real stuff happens. And we've had many people think it's over after Act 1.
Yeah.
And I've heard that some people with children leave after Act 1 because Act 2 is definitely not Happily Ever After. Real life things happen. some people die, I won't say who, but it just brings about the truth of life is what it does in Act Two. And I think that is what makes it not just a musical that's fun, it makes it what's really deep. And I think it appeals to adults, to children, to anyone, because there's some part of the story that no matter where you are in your life, you're going to connect to it.
I think you're absolutely right. And now, you have a wonderful cast, actually too many to name, but they're marvelous. You have one character, one person playing Cinderella, one Rapunzel, one Jack, one Little Red Riding Hood. You've got a witch, you've got princes. It's a wonderful cast. And I, what I thought was really fun was Cinderella's ugly sisters are actually very attractive and talented real-life twins, the Drexler sisters.
Yes, they're identical twins. And I cannot tell you how excited I was. I did not know that Michelle Drexler, who was in Camelot last summer, I didn't know she had a twin sister. And when she heard that I was directing Into the Woods, she emailed me because I had asked her to come audition. And she said, well, would you consider casting my sister? And I said, well, sure, because her sister lived in New York. And I said, well, have her send me a tape. And when I saw that they were identical twins, it was just a no-brainer. It's like, okay, you're both cast, you're playing the stepsisters, this is going to be so much fun. And they are indeed fun. They've even started an Instagram page. It's called Lucinda_Florinda, where they take selfies of themselves and write nasty things about Cinder Smella and post them every show.
Well, they're terrific in it, and the whole cast is great. You have another New York actor playing one of the leads, the prince.
Oh, yes, Jeffrey Adams. He came to us through the actress playing Cinderella, Monique. She's worked with us several times before, and I had an actor drop out a few weeks before rehearsal started, and she heard that I had lost her prince, and she said, I have someone for you. And so we auditioned him using YouTube, and his voice is so beautiful, and he's incredibly handsome. So we just said, well, if Monique likes you and I can see you're talented, come on out and do the role. And we hit the jackpot with him.
Yeah, he killed. He really did. And while you're mentioning Monique, she does a wonderful job too as Cinderella. Terrific. Lots of pratfalls, sliding on the floor, and just terrific kid.
Yeah, there's nothing quite as endearing as seeing a beautiful woman fall down constantly.
Yeah, exactly. And she does these belly flops across the stage. It's great. Now, you've got Dave Dabrowski. Is that how you pronounce his name? He's doing the music for you?
Yes, he's our music director, and he's also the band leader. And he just pulled together not only an amazing band, but he got these singers. The one thing that we had in common was the articulation. We wanted to hear every single word that was written, which can be very difficult, especially in a piece like this where people are singing different lyrics at the same time at a very rapid pace. But I think he succeeded quite well.
If you're just joining us, my guest is San Francisco Playhouse producer-director Susie Damolano. Now, Susie, why do you like Sondheim so much?
What I love about Sondheim is that even though it's a musical, it's written as a play. Like, people that are singing songs, they're more like monologues. They're not just whimsical songs about how beautiful it is outside. They're songs that come from the heart, that have a meaning, that I personally cannot stop humming. I wake up in the middle of the night and it turns out that I'm singing one of the songs. But they're really deep, and he makes you think, and that's what I love about it.
And they do drive the show, too.
Oh, God, they completely drive the show. I don't know how he does it. He drives the show. It's mostly singing, but you're still getting a full story.
So let's talk about your own stamp that you put on this show, because you added a non-speaking part. Tell us about the role that you added to the show.
Well, my intention was not to change the show at all. I think it's an amazing show. What I wanted to do was really emphasize the family circle, the idea that we tell stories to our kids who tell stories to their kids, and that keeps the family story going. So by having the boy in the show, he's a non-speaking role, and travels with the narrator, and in the end, you find out that the narrator turns out to be related to one of the characters, and the boy is a grown-up version of the baby. So my hope is to just keep that circle of family dominant in the piece by adding him.
Well, I think it works. Now, let's talk about the beautiful set. It's Nina Ball, who works with you guys a lot. She's a very, I don't know if she's up and coming anymore. She's up and come in the Bay Area in terms of sets. Talk about the set and Nina a little bit.
Well, Nina is amazing, and she does do half of our sets usually. And this year she did our set at the same time that she was opening a show out at Cal Shakes, and at the same time, I think her baby was born, maybe, I don't even know, her baby is probably 2 months old now. So she became a new mother and the mother of two brand new sets at the same time. She has the whole thing supported by scaffolding to bring it from ancient to modern, all with one whoosh of the hand.
Well, the set is marvelous. Really lovely job, and I noticed that you didn't waste one inch of it. There was a point during the second act, and I thought to myself, there's one entrance that she hasn't brought an actor out of yet, and 5 seconds later, an actor came out of that place. It was stage left, and I thought, yes, now she's done it.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a terrific directing job. You know, it's one of the things that, for me anyway, counts.
Thank you. Well, when she gave me that set, I just thought, well, I have to use every square inch because she's used every square inch of our stage. We had to build stairs off stage left because the set goes to the edge of the stage and the only way for actors to enter would be to build a new set of stairs for them to come up on. So if she was doing that, I felt like I had to follow suit.
Well, you both did a great job. Well, look, I know next season you're planning another Sondheim show, Company, one of my favorites, and you're also doing two world premieres, and your Sandbox offerings will also be world premieres. Talk a bit about the Sandbox series.
Oh, we call it the Sandbox because we're the playhouse, and the Sandbox is a place where we want to work on new plays and in a non-pressure situation. So we don't put a lot of money into the production values, but we do use the money to bring in great writers, great actors, and directors.
Well, now, Susie, I'll tell you something that I appreciate about San Francisco Playhouse is the hands-on approach that you and your husband, Bill, and actually all the people who work with you at the Playhouse put into making your audiences feel at home. For example, you're both there meeting and greeting before and after the shows, and your staff are also into it. They dress up for openings, and they go all out to really show their enthusiasm for the company. Why are they so on your side?
Well, I'm glad that it shows, because we really strongly believe in the community. We're telling stories of the community, and for all of us to do that, we have to work together, and we're hoping that that can be how we operate forever.
Well, to people who haven't been to the San Francisco Playhouse, this is a mom-and-pop shop that's going to the top. So I can't recommend the production of Into the Woods highly enough to my audience. It continues through September the 6th at the San Francisco Playhouse. It's at 450 Post Street. For all the information on the show, go to sfplayhouse.org. And Susie, always a pleasure to talk with you. Continued success to you and Bill and the San Francisco Playhouse, all of your staff, and thanks for taking us on a field trip today.
Thank you, Mitchell. It's been a pleasure.
That's the beautiful and talented Susie Damilano, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me on today's field trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet, featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that the field trip can be heard Wednesdays at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays on cable channel 26, anytime on your computer at radiosausalito.org, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends. And if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.